Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking sleepers for this year's draft, where basically they're getting in the later rounds where the value, they're a value pick essentially, and hopefully we can hit them out of the park and they win us our leagues. And to help me do that is Stevie Fizz and Statesman. Welcome, gents.
How you doing, Jono? It's been a big week, Jono. I don't know if you know, you've seen the baby gates when you've walked into the hashtag studio.
Yep.
But Baby Fizz has also said dad.
Wow.
For the first time. And it was a melt your heart moment. Really very enjoyable. Problem was, she was hanging on to the Baby Demons membership pack she got sent, and she was touching Jesse Hogan. So I don't know what's going on there.
Controversy in the Fizz house.
That wasn't great. I was a bit...
So while you're out playing golf or bowls, Jesse Hogan just said hello to Mrs. Fizz?
Well, she went to a match last year, and he did take a big hanger in the pocket she was sitting in, and, you know, these things happen.
Yep, act of gods. And how are you, Statesman?
I'm very well. I obviously wish Tainted all the best in her celebrations in starting to speak the language. Also a fantastic week for footy being draft week. It's one of my favourite of the year because, of course, those that love keeper leagues, this is the time where you really do the research, see where the mature age benefits and one-off year screamers will come from. And, of course, finding the ball magnets that'll come and be long stays into your keeper league. So love draft week. It's absolutely sensational.
Yeah, well, I saw the another fantasy website did a mock draft last night just where all the rookies would go. It was quite interesting, actually, seeing Hawthorn pick up a couple of players and pick 88 and 109.
Yeah, I don't care. They're not going to do anything for me. I'd rather take the old boys.
The old boys.
Back in my draft. I've got to be honest, guys. I've seen all our picks, and I equate it to an iceberg where there's been a few picks at the top of the iceberg, and you know, a little bit of the iceberg shows above sea level, and there's a few that show above sea level, and then most of the iceberg is under the water, and some of my guys are right down the bottom of that iceberg.
But a bit of news today, a lot of teams hitting the track. I don't know why they would hit the track when it's one of the hottest days here in Melbourne, about 38 degrees, but a couple of teams running their time trials. It seems to be tradition for the first day back, so good luck to them. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, where we are at The Draft Doctors there, or shoot us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Moving into the show now, and as I said at the top, we're going to be talking sleepers.
Ah, Mike Evans. Hey, what say you draft me in your fantasy draft, and I'll draft you in mine, huh?
No, I don't think so.
Why not, man? I'm a sleeper.
Nobody sleeps that deep.
Basically, we've got to mention what their value is and where we might draft them coming up in our prospective drafts. And to start us off is Steve. Who have you got, mate?
My first pick off the list is Trent Dumont from North Melbourne. Well, that's right.
Smooth criminal.
Right. Hey, like I said, I'm picking deep here, guys. You will be able to get him with the last pick in your draft. Played 11 games last year, has an average mid-70s. Number of roles? Inside mid, tagging, on a wing. So I kind of like him because, look, it's his third season. I think he was a top 20 pick. The Roos are in transition.
Really?
Well, it would appear that way because they haven't recruited
anyone.
Other than, you know, guys with busted knees and no old guys. So, look, I think there's opportunity at the Kangaroos. I know you've got the Kangaroos recruit on your list, Jono.
Yep.
But I could have easily said Luke McDonald. But I wanted to go for a midfielder. I feel like you know, Trent Mott, his qualities. The problem is he's an inside mid. And that's kind of what they got, but in the established types like your Swallows and your Cunningtons. But look, we saw they drag game time away from Cunnington. Swallow looks just past it to me. Like, I think Dumont offers upside. They gave him a good run last year, especially in the second half. He's a tackling machine, and I love tacklers. I think tackling is huge. If you can average 6+ tackles, that's, you know, you're a quarter of a way to a ton already, before you even start getting possessions. Downside is bad disposal. Not great disposal.
Are we talking Reece Palmer disposal here? Or more Taylor Adams?
You're really splitting hairs there, buddy.
About 2%.
Like he's been likened to a Luke Parker type.
Okay.
You know, Luke Parker, he actually isn't too far away from the same sort of numbers, the same sort of style of game. Luke Parker in his third year was averaging about 85, 86, which is where Dumont's going to be. But I feel like he's got the upside to get into your low 90s. Is that good enough to be in your team? I feel like when you're talking guys, like I'll put it this way. If I was drafting him or Andrew Swallow, I'd draft the guy with the upside.
Yeah.
Rather than the guy on the way down. Now, maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I feel like he's got all the potential in the world. And again, it's going to cost you your last pick in the draft, which is a low equity pick.
One of your last four picks, eh? Those lottery ticket picks anyway.
Yeah, and that's what we're talking about. We're trying to strike some pay dirt at the end. Look, it could be a third season breakout. He could just get the workload inside. You know, Daniel Wells is gone. Daniel Wells was their best clearance player last year. So there should be opportunity there. I mean, it costs you nothing.
And that's what we're talking about here. Trent Dumont, as you said, going to get the game time. I certainly won't be picking him, so he's all yours.
Well, that's fine. And that's, you know, it's going to be a preference thing at this point.
I think, gents, the North Melbourne, who haven't really been fantasy relevant for a while, with one or two exclusions being Harvey, Wells and Goldstein, but there's going to be a quality or amount of unknown with North Melbourne's list next year, and there will be some Jets in there. So there will be some real value. Finding where it is going to be the real challenge, and it's going to be one of those situations where you're relying on your pre-season form to see who's going to play in what position. So I don't know if Trent's going to be the man, but certainly there will be some value in North Melbourne, there's no doubt.
So yeah, Trent Dumont, bit of value there, Jono.
A lot of value. One guy I want to talk about is former number one draft pick in the pre-draft, is Jack Martin. A lot of people thinking, why the hell Jack Martin? But you look at this, he went from forward to playing defender for the Gold Coast last year and played really well. His averages went up to 75 in Supercoach and 84 in Ultimate Footy. When he made the move down back, he's got great pace, he's got great kicking skills, and he likes to take a mark. In that defence, that's going to be great. In 2016, he averaged 16 disposals, almost 6 marks a game, 3.6 tackles, and his kick-to-handball ratio is really good, 1.3 to 1 handball. So really loving that. I think with Jared Harbrow not really coming along in that role, I can see Jack Martin taking it off him and really flourishing there. 2 tons in fantasy, 3 in super coach. Last year, his ADP was 232, so really right on that last pick, outside that last pick. For me, I'd be looking at him as around 14, 16 pick for me, so a little bit higher than what we're talking about, but I'd take him as a D4, both formats for me.
So you're relying on him getting a position change?
Yes.
My question is, Jono, sleeper, he's number one pick. He's not really hidden away. I feel like you've gone soft.
ADP at 232. That's pretty low.
Well, what do you think of Pierce Hanley coming into the side this year?
He'll go to the other side.
Well, what about Kolodziejczyk? Is he going to bounce back?
He could, but this is crazy Rocket E we're talking about. So
it's crazy Rocket E.
I could just put him anywhere.
So, I mean, what's his upside? I mean, like, if you feel like he's a value late, where do you think he can realistically finish? Because to me, he doesn't seem like a contested player. He seems like an outside player who's going to rely on volume.
Well, interesting stats. In fantasy last year, he was the 27th high-scoring defender and 64th in Supercoach. So the volume can and should be there for him, being that rebounding defender, push up on the wing midfield, sneak, and we know he's a forward too, can sneak a goal.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, Jack Martin, I think he's going to be a defender in all forms. I think that's where he pretty much finished off the year. I think in AFL fantasy, he got the defender status probably mid-season, I think in the second year, second check through. I think he's a high-quality player. There's no doubts about that. You don't get in the mini-draft model without being that high-level talent. He's shown in games that he can rack up the pill. What he really hasn't had to challenge with is receiving a tag, which could be a bit of a shock to his system. But certainly, if he was still around at the defender four position, I'd certainly be drafting him and being reasonably excited at what he can put together, because he's only done it in small patches. He hasn't sort of really put a big season together, and I think he's quite capable of doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah, we see those, you know, players like Dan Hannabury, where they had the really high ceiling and the low floor, and eventually they start to put it together. And obviously, it was such a high pick.
Yep.
You know, the pedigree's there. So, you know, with maybe Gold Coast recruiting well,
yeah,
maybe getting some guys back on the park, maybe that's a great late pick, Jono.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue.
Well, and as we know, Martin's had that couple of injuries that have affected him over large chunks of the season too, so might sneak under a few people's radars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Statesman, who of your one of your sleepers, please?
Yeah, my first sleeper is Jack Billings at St Kilda, who's I'm expecting to have a fourth-year breakout. He's played games in every season. He's been an AFL player, totaling 42 games now. That's 16 first season, 9 through injury in his second season, and 17 games last year. Had a small injury out time as well, a couple of weeks back in the VFL to get his form back before he came back in. Averaged 79 Dream Team points last year, 74 in Supercoach. But his best season for average was actually his second year with 84. So he really showed what he could do there. And that included a sub game. He has broken the ton. He did so three times this year, 122 in Dream Team. And those three tons he done with about equal opponents, being Collingwood, Hawthorn and Richmond. So it's not as if he goes a bit troppo against the weaker oppositions. It was actually against reasonable quality. The question mark at St Kilda's list is they had so many small and general forwards. But the reality is, don't panic with that. Jack Billings is their number one priority for this position. He was pick three in the 2013 draft. And this year they delisted Tom Curran, Brodie Murdoch, Brenton Payne, Josh Saunders and Eli Templeton, who were all considered those general forward type. So he's only competing against Jack Sinclair, Lonely and Mitchington. Two of those are actually rookie upgrades, and the only player that was available and got picked every single time he was available and fit enough to play was Jack Billings. So obviously they want him in the team. He will improve naturally through his development and with an interrupted pre-season, which he looks like he's going to do this year. He's going to be the fittest he's ever been. And you'll actually find that Jack's will his game and his fantasy game will improve as his team improves, and they certainly are on the up, St Kilda. Last year he was 44th on averages for forwards, and 63rd in total points for forwards. And effectively here, you'll get an F2 at an F4 draft position. Now, that is a sleeper, and that's a top-end quality. I expect him to average between the 90 to 95.
Well, I certainly won't be taking Jack Billings for an F2 personally. I'd be more looking at my F4.
But that's what he's saying.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I misheard that then. Yeah.
Certainly, thanks for listening, Jono.
No, that's right.
Jesus Christ.
I am that delirious because I've had no sleep. Because I've had food poisoning over the weekend. I've had probably 5 hours sleep. So
I'm sorry, is that food poisoning or are you just still crying after I beat you in the dumpling eating contest?
No, it's genuine food poisoning from the dumplings where you beat me, even though it was 2 weeks ago.
I'm feeling good. Feeling good, Jono. Feeling good, like a winner does. Anyway, yeah, Jack Billings. I mean,
quality player.
You can't dispel it. I actually followed St Kilda pretty closely last year and I watched a lot of their games and... like the Statesman was alluding to, his average actually did drop off a little bit. And I felt like a lot of that was because he was playing a little bit deeper instead of up to that half forward line. I know he's a high quality player. I feel like they'll want to get him involved. So I'm all about it. So what would...
I was just thinking maybe they were just looking after him a bit more to nurse him through a season so his injuries don't reoccur. And do you think maybe with Josh Kelly coming to the side will affect him at all?
Josh Kelly?
Jack Steele, sorry.
No, Jack Steele will be in the midfield, and that's the most important part here. Kobe Stevens also entered, but I think they brought Kobe for a bit of insurance, but also a bit of a hard hedge in the midfield. And if you want to talk about his tank, his second year before his injury, he was averaging more game time than David Armitage was. So he's only his second year of footy, he was averaging 107 minutes of game time per game, and that included the one where he got injured. So this is a young ball magnet that has got a tank.
With quality.
And a lot of upside.
He's like a fitter version of Alan Dydak.
That's a really good analogy, yes.
Which is, you know, that's great. That's fantastic. I'm all about it. I just wonder where he'll go in drafts because I looked at the ADPs from last year and he was inside the, I think it was around the 12th round where he was going. So I know his average fell away a little bit, so maybe that'll push him down a little bit to around that 14th, 15th. Would you be comfortable taking him there, Statesman?
Absolutely. And as I say, I reckon he'll end up being an F2 unless you load up on the forwards nice and early. Remembering there's going to be that top end, only Deledio, which I think I'm the only person that's going to draft him. But there's not going to be many in that mould. I think even Barlow will be a mid only. So there's going to be a lack of depth there. And you've got to remember, for this year's draft, he was going into his third season backing on an average of 83. So everyone was expecting the big breakout. It didn't happen, but it's one of those, it's going to happen. It's a matter of when. And I think the timing is right, both for St Kilda to move up the ladder, as well as Jack Billings to become an elite small forward.
Oh, I love it. Love it.
Yeah, same here. Just hopefully he stays fit and keep on the park. Yeah.
If you don't
put the jinx on him already.
Moz on him. Jeez, Jono, jeez.
So, Steve, who is your second sleeper for today?
Well, look, guys, honestly, I've gone out first off and I've led out with Trent Dumont, who people don't even know who he is, and you've pulled out a number one pick and a number three pick. I feel like that's a bit rough. So I've gone with the guy who was number four pick in his draft, a guy I was all about last year, had a lot of injury concerns with he tore his pec, and then when he was coming back, had a little bit of a knee issue, but did come back for a few games, and that's Dom Sheed from the West Coast Eagles.
A lot of hype about him.
When?
Always.
Well, I'm hyping him up now. I know you're hyping him up. I'm hyping him up now. I feel like he's going to be around 18, probably around between round 17 and 19 candidate, because he's going to be listed as a forward, and that's the beauty of Dom Sheed. He's definitely going to be listed as a forward. He only came back for the six games after a pretty good 2015 where he played in 20 games. This is a forward who can get you 30 touches.
It certainly is.
How many forwards can give you that? Not many. I feel like he could finish as a 4-2, more likely a high-end forward 3. And I think he's got the potential to average, you know, around 85 with the possibility of 90. I think he'll average about 23 touches, 4 marks and 2 tackles. I think Sam Mitchell going into this team benefits him more than anyone. He'll be in the second midfield rotation, but he'll play on the forward flank. He's got a lot of young Jordan Lewis kind of like that left foot. He'll be putting the ball inside forward 50. Maybe he doesn't have the kicking skills just yet.
Has Jordan Lewis had the kicking skills?
Well, Jordan Lewis is pretty good at hitting up targets inside 50. So, I mean, a pec tear is a kind of... It's not like it's a knee injury. It's not like an ankle injury. I'm not particularly concerned about it. I thought last year was going to be the year, but he did... He came back, and in those 6 games, he did have a 30-touch game.
It took him a while to fire up, but once he did...
Yeah, and look, it was hard to come into that team. It was probably not where they thought they should be, and, you know, he missed the whole year, basically. I'd write it off. So I think this fourth year, he's a high pick. You know, really, I expect West Coast to bounce... Well, I mean, they made finals, so, I mean, they weren't...
They weren't horrible.
But, I mean, they were a premiership going to the start of the year. I expect them to bounce back to some degree. I think Sam Mitchell is going to be fantastic for him. When you're comparing him to the other young guys going through, like a Liam Duggan, like an Elliot Yeo, those guys just don't find the ball enough for mine, as opposed to Sheed, who I just think he finds the ball a little bit better. So I think he's a really, really good late pick with a lot of upside. We know we're trying to mine some gold in the forwards, and I think he's a late guy who
can do that.
Who could do that? And I'm just a big fan. So anyway, yeah. What do you think, Jono?
Yeah, having watched him when he did play last year, because you're all about him as one of your boys, I thought I'd better have a look at this fella, and he was great.
Yeah,
good skills, and as you said, Sam Mitchell will help, I think, not only help him in fantasy terms, but help him grow his game as well.
Cause sure.
I think that's why they've recruited Sam Mitchell to eventually go into a coaching role, but all good if you can get him. And I think anyone who's looking at him will get him.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, Dom Sheed, I rate him quite highly. Although I will say there are a few little things of concern. He's played his 35 games. He's only tonned it up once. And that was in 2015 where he played the full season. So I still haven't seen that ceiling from him, and his ton-up was just 102 in Dream Team. So there are a few little question marks of where he fits in, and maybe now, even though he will be named as a forward, I think that's where he'll spend the majority of the time. Mitchell and Prittis and Shuey are always going to get that first run at it. And with Gaff and Co, I think there's going to be quite a few, Marston, of course, quite a few sort of filtering through that midfield zone. So I would certainly pick him up late or bench cover for forward. I think there's some great potential for a fourth-year breakout for him, but I just haven't seen that ceiling.
Yeah, I guess that's always what you're... always looking for the ceiling, but I and you know, I agree, but I feel like the 85 average, possible 90, I feel like he's going to be a valuable...
Well, it's not going to hurt you, yep, when you pick him up.
Like, I'm not picking up to the expectation isn't that he's going to go full Ben Cunnington 115 average. I'm being realistic with the average, because I cap him at 23 touches a game. I think that is his average.
Yeah.
4 marks, 2 tackles. I don't think he's a big tackler. If you're going to play in these on the half forward flank, you have to do one thing well. And I think 4 marks and 2 tackles is kind of a nice balance with the volume, because I think West Coast with Mitchell, Prittis, Shuey, Gaff, I think they should control the ball in a lot of their games. So that's just, look, it's just a guy I like. So
you're saying the tackles won't be there, but the marks and possession go up?
I think the, look, he had 20 possessions a game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So three more isn't a big stretch on average.
No.
He's had around the three marks a game on average. He's had around the two tackles a game on average. So I don't think it's a big stretch to suggest over a season.
Get that up one or two more.
You're talking about a high quality junior, you know, a high quality pick,
yep.
High equity pick in the actual draft. So I feel like there's a lot of good upside there, especially when we're talking about trying to mine some gold from our forwards.
Yeah, absolutely. On the other spectrum to what you just spoke about there, Steve, I'm going to talk about Cam Ellis-Yolman from the Adelaide Crows. Only the two games in 2016, was dropped. In 2015, he did play, but was dropped behind the likes of Sloan, Thompson, the Crouchers, a bloke by the name of Dangerfield, and Lyons. But guess what? Lyons isn't there, Danger's not there, and Henderson's not there anymore. So there is near. And Thompson, I can't see him playing a full season this year because just father time.
Are you doubting the guns?
I'm not doubting the guns. I'm doubting the legs.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine telling Scott Thompson he was dropped?
I would do it through a lead wall.
Jesus.
So, obviously, a big opportunity for Cam Ellis-Yolman this summer to step up into that midfield, to get himself right. He's been training with an Australian UFC fighter to get himself fit and stronger. So, in case there's a melee, he just put the armbar on, get himself a free kick. He has been a proven scorer. In previous years, hitting the tons. He's a big boy. He's 190 centimetres, 90 kilo. For me, I think people would have forgotten about him after his breakout year there, when in his second year, where he was putting some nice scores together. For me, I'd be willing to roll the dice at an M6, M7 for me.
It's just going to come with an opportunity.
Yeah, so he's just going to fight for that basically this summer.
Yeah.
My call on Cam Ellis-Yolman is that he's a super coach player. He's not a dream team, so I'm probably less likely to support him as a sleeper. He's never turned up in dream team.
No.
He's still only played 14 games. Yes, he has come close, but 14 games and an average of 65 just doesn't excite me to actually draft him. Waiver wire pickup. Certainly, possibly, but really, I see some benefit as super coach, and I see he's going to get more opportunities with Jared Lyons out. But I was expecting that with Dangerfield out. I thought after 11 games in 2015, Dangerfield leaving, I was thinking that Cam was going to get more of a shot this year. He only ended up playing the two games. So,
and that was right at the end of the year, too.
Correct. So it was almost a sort of token game time. So I certainly wouldn't draft him. I'll be holding off. If he's on the waiver wire and he shows a bit of good form, then I'd pick him up then.
Yeah, it doesn't excite me, to be honest. I mean, yeah, fine, he can score if he's on the park, but I just see so many guys. Like, I really like Matt Crouch. I'm probably less excited by Brad Crouch, but they've paid a hefty price to get him in. You know, there's still Scott Compson, there's still Rory Sloan. There's just guys. I just see so many guys in front of him. I don't see the path to him, A, getting regular game. Like, I mean, if we talked here at the end of the year and he only played 12 games, would it shock you?
No.
I mean, I'd just rather put my chips in another table.
And I would have looked at and a bit surprised that Gold Coast didn't go hard after this fella, because he's the perfect type of player that they really needed. A Cam Ellis-Yolman as a Gold Coast and playing in the midfield all the time, I think would be a wonderful pickup, because you can just guarantee him a spot. He's very good inside, and he uses the footy quite well, so you don't mind him getting it outside. But I just struggle with where the opportunities are in Adelaide, and I think there is a lot of opportunities in the Gold Coast, and probably disappointed for him he didn't get the opportunity.
Well, he signed till the end of for 2017, so we might see that trade happen next draft period.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we're tweeting out that it looked like all the speculation was through the trade period that was going to be the move, and it made sense to everyone on the outside, and instead Jared Lyons finds his way up there, who I'm less excited about, to be honest.
Yeah, well, he came and said he's got 1 year left in his deal. He wants to see if he can crack this midfield. I suppose if he doesn't, then, yeah, put his hand up and ask to be traded.
Well, you know, sometimes your best form is the unexposed form, Jono.
Quite possibly. But true. I dip my lid to him for having a crack in that crack Adelaide midfield.
Good luck, yeah.
A bloke who needs no luck is for you. Who have you got there, Statesman?
Yeah, so the next one, and you might gather, firstly, I'm an ageist. We've covered that pretty well in the first couple of shows I've done with you, gents. The next one is my favourite number is 3. My first pick was pick 3 in 2013 draft, Jack Billings. The second one is pick number 33 from the 2013 draft, who's played 33 senior games. Mr. Tom Cutler for the Brisbane Lions. Now, Tom, through his junior career, was an absolute ball magnet, and they're the ones I look for in the research, as I will from the draft. I really, after Friday's draft, look at those players that were real magnets when they were young and watch them progress and get ready to pick them up for when I think that they're going to have the breakout year. I think that year's coming up for Tom. Obviously, there's been a bit of clearing out. The Brisbane Lions is one of the few that are remaining through. They do like him. He's got a great kick on him and a nice long penetrating kick as well. And he's already shown us a ceiling. Round 12 this year, he had 139 Dream Team points. That's the second time he's turned up in his 33 games. So he's shown he can explode. That game, he had 19 kicks, 9 hand passes, which totaled 28 possessions, 13 marks. So he can find himself in space, 3 tackles, and also booted 2 goals. So this man certainly can play. His game time this year was still in the 70% range, so he can get more game time as well. As I said, he was a ball magnet as a junior. And with Pierce Hanley moving on, because he's a very similar player, running tall, 190 centimetres, and that game he played on the wing when he got 139 in Dream Team, you'll be able to pick him up as your last defender or as cover, and I reckon Tom Cutler is due for a breakout between the 85 and 95 points as a defender.
Well, you know, Statesman, it's hard to disagree, because he was riding the carriages on my early hype train. So I'm all about the Tom Cutler. I actually would spend a higher pick on that to ensure he was in my team. That's just my personal feeling on it.
And I actually think you'll find that I don't think he might go as a sleeper this year, because people were fighting for him in a lot of leagues last year. I know that. So those people see their scores. He's going to shoot up those draft boards. So if you're going to, I don't think you're going to be able to get him at a late pick, to be honest.
Well, he only averaged 71 Dream Team points and 75 in Supercoach, and only played 15 games last year. I certainly don't think he'll go too early, and that's the important part. You've got all those quality sort of mid-range players between the 80 and 90 points that all have to go as security before you get Tom Cutler. He is the one you're going to take a risk, but there is a lot of reward that's going to come with this boy.
No, but I feel like I would take him around 16, 17, instead of, say, a guy who I know the average. Oh, that, look, this is me. Obviously, you know, we're doing our research and so forth, but I feel like he'd return value on that sort of 17th round, just to ensure he's in your team. You know, maybe that's too early. I don't know, but sometimes
I was thinking you thought.
Sometimes there's guys I rubber stamp and I really want them in my team, and I damn well, you know, I might spend a pick too early. I remember, Johnny, in our draft 2 years ago, I got Dan Hanbury in round 9, and everyone went, huh? And he came out and he was the leading scorer for
first 14
rounds or something.
Yeah.
And there's these guys who you just don't want to miss. And I'm on board completely, and I wouldn't want to miss on Tom Cutler. I'll put it that way. If I was drafting in round 18 and say there was 14 picks between me, I'd damn well make sure I got him. Because I'm on board. I think it happens this year, and the pathway's there.
Oh, I certainly see it as well. So I was just thinking maybe you guys were both maybe going to spend a little bit even earlier draft pick, saying that 13 to 15 category.
I think they're still,
was that too early?
I think they're still good play. In this guy's I'd probably
want before
that bank on a little bit earlier. I mean, he might return value on that.
Yeah.
Brody Smith?
I'll talk about him next week.
Well, that's an interesting discussion because I really feel like I think there's every chance that Cutler would average more, but you'd get him at a 6-round, 7-round, 8-round discount.
Yep.
So, and that's what we want.
Oh, for sure.
That's draft.
For sure.
So, yeah. Great. Love it.
Yeah, same here. I don't know how much love there's going to be for the next guy, Steve.
Well, sometimes people, you put your balls on the line, right? And the room where the hashtag studio is a bit of a furnace today. It's a very warm day in Melbourne. I feel like it's apt because I feel like I'm wearing a little hat and I've got my cup of coffee and I'm actually a dog and the room is on fire and I'm saying, this is fine. This is completely fine. Now, I've got Rhys Palmer as my third sleeper, and he will be your last pick if you choose to take him.
He'll be on everyone a lot of waiver wire too.
135.
Trader for pick 135.
So is that pick 135?
So that's 50 picks later than Sam Mitchell, people.
Wow.
Okay, just for context. We all thought that was about... Okay.
About accurate.
Here's the story. There was a train leaving GWS, and he went, I'm up for an adventure. I'll get on this. I'll see where it ends up. And it went to Carlton. He actually couldn't get a seat on that train. It was standing room only because there were so many people going on it. Now, look, all jokes aside, he's listed as a forward. He was a valuable player for us, and we mentioned him several times last year when Devon Smith was out. He performed. He kicked three games. He kicked 3 goals.
Yep.
Out of his 11 from last year. When we talk about... When I'm formulating my draft list and my tiers and my rankings and so forth, I consider a range of outcomes for all players. And for Rhys Palmer, I feel like he could easily be a tagger. He could easily be a defensive forward, as he's been pretty successful doing, despite the fact it doesn't always translate to good fantasy scores. But there's an outcome where he's a midfielder.
How does that work?
Carlton have no clearance players outside of Patrick Cripps.
That's true.
Okay. Mark Murphy, like, they didn't win many clearances last year. They were towards the bottom. Patrick Cripps won a quarter of all their clearances, believe it or not. It was the highest rate in the league by a mile. Josh Kennedy was second. Okay, so they need some help on the inside. Now, maybe Rhys Palmer isn't that player, but I feel like there's a world where that happens. Okay?
I didn't know you got back in a comedy.
Staceman needs a nappy or a change of pants. He's just lost control of his functions. Okay, look, his best year was his first. He played 20 games, 87 average. Really has been injured, been inconsistent. He hasn't played 20 games since. This is your last pick in your draft. We know the forwards are bare.
If you got the poor disposal efficiency part there.
I don't care. If the volume's there, couldn't care. Okay, it's 3 points. Doesn't go 3 points... You landed on
times that by 20.
Okay, for me, there is an outcome where he is a ball winner, where he can win 20 possessions.
I think you got sunstroke, dude. Have a glass of water or something.
That's fine. I've got no problems with it. I really don't care. I know it's very funny. I know everyone's going to hang it on me. But there's a world. There's a range of outcome.
So you're going to say they're going to leave Sam Kerridge as that defensive tagger
position. I didn't say that. I said there's an outcome where Rhys Palmer,
if Brett Bolton smokes a lot of crack over the summer,
it could happen. It could happen. You're talking about he's still not even 30. He's not 30 years old.
It's amazing. I know it's amazing, but
you know, at the end of the year, when he's played 22 games for the first time ever, and Brett Deledio has played 8. And Statesman's wasted his first round pick on him. We'll all sit back and have a laugh. No, look, I understand. I could have easily said, oh, Josh Kelly, blah, 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 blah. We know Josh Kelly exists. We're talking range of outcomes. This is a strategy pick. He's a forward. I want someone who's going to potentially be my fourth forward. I see a world where he averages 85. I really do. And people can tell me I'm crackers. That's fine. I really just... I'll roll the dice on it in my drafts.
Oh, look, if you're spending your last pick on it, not going to cost you anything.
If you're going to be your last pick, if you're in a league with 10 players and there's 25 picks, he'll be your last pick.
Yep.
No one's going to draft him.
Nope.
He will every chance be on your waiver wire. But there's a world... What's he doing? Is he just throwing his pants on the roof?
No.
I don't want to see.
All the comments are yours, Statesman.
Who have you got?
I don't know. I'd like to hear Statesman's thoughts on this.
Yes, just reading the AFL prospectus, their comment says, Fantasy Freako says, won't get any better. I think that's pretty clear. And I'll just make one point. Statistically, the last six seasons, he's averaged 65, 74, 72, 69, 70, and 65. And just to clarify of where it all sits, Dale Thomas this year averaged more points per game than Rhys Palmer has in his last six seasons.
That's fine, and I completely accept it. And that's, I've got no problems because Fantasy Freako's never been wrong. Boy, I wish I could go back through the book and... Do you want to look through that and see? You know, I think I'm pretty sure I've got a copy of the AFL prospectus where Trent Cotchin wins a... Oh, wait, that did happen in the end.
I will say that you are right. There is a world where he could end up being in their midfield. There actually is a world that could happen because they are quite thin outside Cripps. Obviously, Gibbs had a fantastic season, but you talk about, do you keep going with Ed Curno or do you give, you know, the 28-year-old Rhys Palmer, his proven midfielder back at Fremantle in his early days, and give him a shot and be a clearance player? So you're right, there is a world. I certainly wouldn't be drafting him, but the end of the day, waiver wire... he and Cam Ellis-Yolman might be two fantastic bench players that actually do some tricks for you, especially in the bye weeks.
Well, I'll put it like this. Last year, you mentioned the perfect player, Ed Curno. Jono, how did you feel about Ed Curno last year?
Great when I picked him off the waiver wire.
Exactly, yeah. Look, these things happen. Look, if I put a percentage on it, it's 10%. It's low. But I'll roll that dice. And that's all I'm saying.
And that's what these last picks are all about.
The last picks are all about it. They're low equity picks. If it doesn't pan out, you throw them back on the pile and get
someone else.
Player X. It doesn't matter.
Well, sometimes all you need is opportunity, but there is a world where Liam Jones becomes a quality key forward as well.
Hey, Johnny Butch turned up last year, buddy. Johnny Butch.
Liam Jones actually going to get a game?
Levi Casbolt turned up last year.
That's fine. Levi Casbolt's a better player than Liam Jones.
I'm not drafting it. I'm just... But there was no... Wait, what? What? Liam... What?
Levi Casbolt is a better player than Liam Jones.
But you said he was the next Travis Cloak.
Yeah, can't kick for goal. Take him out, can't kick a goal. That's Travis Cloak to a T.
Well, he's at Western Bulldogs, so get excited, buddy.
Yeah,
yeah.
We won't worry about that. Do you have something to say there, Statesman?
No, who's next?
I am next. And speaking of Travis Cloak, they could have been teammates, but unfortunately he was traded. That's Nathan Hrovat.
Greener pastures.
very greener pastures. Starved opportunity at the Western Bulldogs because, you know, they had so many small midfield forward types, couldn't get a game. But also injuries played a large part too, just couldn't get himself right and getting on the park. His best year in fantasy was back in 2014, where he averaged 75 Supercoach, 71 Dream Teams. In that year, he did turn up in both formats. So the scores there and the ceilings there. He can kick a goal. He's got great skills. His ability to read the play is fantastic. I think he's going to get all the time in the world to prove himself at North Melbourne. Back in his TAC Cup days, he was named All-Australian, came like fourth in their medals. So if he can stay fit, I'd be interested in him in a bench spot for me in that 18 to 22 pick.
Yeah, no, I'd certainly roll the dice. Again, it seems like they're in transition. He was another one of those North players I was considering. I don't mind giving you a leg up, Jono, and throwing you a few players your way. No, actually, interesting. North are over in Utah on their preseason camp, and there was a photo of four players. I forget who they were.
Because you don't know what North Melbourne players look like these days.
No, I don't. It looked like there was three players and a primary school kid.
That'd be Robert.
That was Robert. And look, yeah, you know what?
He's still 22, going on 23, so...
I got no problems with it. That's fine. No problems with it.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about North Melbourne before, that they're going to become fantasy relevant, and here's one of the players that has got a great opportunity here. It'd be his fifth season, I always believe, between the three and the third and the fifth season is when true players break out. He hasn't averaged over 74, but I think there's some great opportunity with good game time. The only concern to me was probably the 2015. Just average points per minute was a bit of a concern that season, but I think that came with a bit of a role change where he was a lot deeper and found himself having a lot more shots at goal. So obviously he played really as a pocket player, and I see that he's going to be used a bit more up in the ground for North Melbourne. I think it's a great opportunity for him. Certainly one of those, again, that I probably wouldn't draft, but this probably fits off. We've got two forwards here and a midfielder that'll be just fantastic sitting on the bench or coming off the waiver wire and scoring pretty big.
Yeah, absolutely. And hence why I said I'm going to take him as a bench spot for me, because it's going to cost me nothing in the end.
Yeah, I mean, there's always someone I really want to look back at round 12 and go, geez, I wish I had drafted someone else, maybe like a Reece Palmer. And Provat could be that player.
Not thinking Cam Ellis-Yolman?
I'm not thinking about him, buddy.
Who's your last player there, Statesman?
Yeah, last one averaged in the 80s this year. He was 62nd on the averaging mids, which didn't include the DPPs. He's down in the 100s, so you expect him to get drafted around that number, so anywhere between pick 100 and 150. But there's some real opportunity here, so smart coaches might draft him early, and I'm looking for the seven-year breakout with this player. Pick number seven in 2010 was Josh Caddy, and there's one main reason. It's all about the opportunity in the guts. He certainly got hampered by the Dangerfield factor. Truly had his breakout in his fifth year, averaging 93 in 2015. And just to give you an understanding of what he did that year, there was a 10-game run where he averaged 107.7. And this is obviously prior to Dangerfield coming into that team. That average would have been 10th overall in 2016 in Dream Team points. And that's higher than Dustin Martin, Scott Pendlebury, Tom Mitchell, Bryce Gibbs, and Jack Stevens. So that's a remarkable effort, a 10-week run. So give him time in the midfield, and he can score and score well. I believe he's probably a fifth-round drafting midfielder, but he, as explained there, has a top 10 potential.
Sorry, can you just go back over that? Sorry, fifth round midfielder.
I think you'll
you draft him as an M5. Yeah, that's generally... I mean, actually, it's interesting because we saw in the Listener League, and his ADP in Ultimate Footy was quite late. I was surprised because when I was vetting the numbers for the show, I thought, Josh Caddy, that seems a bit obvious. But no, he is drafted quite late, okay. And he's never really put it together over a whole season.
Correct.
He's got all the opportunity in the world at Richmond. But it felt like he had all the opportunity in the world at the Gold Coast, and it felt like he had all the opportunity in the world at Geelong.
But did he, though, at Geelong?
He was there before Dangerfield.
Yeah, but he never got that real time, and the only time that he got a lot of time in the midfield was that 10-week run, and he showed what he could do. Gold Coast was only year number one and year number two for him, where he averaged 72 and 63. So really, that young, he's never really going to get the opportunity. And, of course, the whole team was young, so they were struggling on the park. As soon as he actually got to Geelong, he had two development years, and then he started hitting his strap. So he lifted from an average in the 60s to an average in the high 80s that year after, when he started to get the opportunities, and mainly in the midfield for that 10-game run.
Oh, look, I'm not going to argue it. I think he's a great pick. I think he's fantastic. I would say he's never going to average over, say, 26 touches a game, but he's a goal-kicking mid, and he's going to give you some bangers where he wins you a week off his own boot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a big tackler.
Yeah, we love those tackles.
Love those tackles. Happy to take him as an M5 for me as well.
Well, it's interesting because he's a guy who's been kicked around our league in few two-for-one trades.
But he's one of those players that is an awkward person to draft, if that makes sense.
Well, we were talking last week about you drafting your Mark Murphy and your Trent Cotchin. Was it last week or the week before? Yeah, last week.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys who he should be really good, and he's got the ceiling.
Yeah.
We love the players who have the ceiling. So maybe he puts it all together at Richmond.
I think he can and will.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, and round 16 against the Western Bulldogs last year, so 2015, he had 37 possessions, 145 in Dream Team, and 166 in Supercoach.
Yeah, because that's this the boy the Bulldogs play. Didn't turn up.
So that's the ceiling. Love that ceiling.
It's 160s. Love it.
We always look for the players who have the ceiling because if they can improve the floor, then they're very good.
Yep. That wraps up the show for this week.
We got a question, Jono.
Oh, we got a question. Okay.
Yeah, we got a question from Darren. And he heard our Ruck Strategy show, and he thinks Gawn is going to smash it, knock it out of the park, and be the best ruck by a mile, and wants to know why the hell he shouldn't take him in the first round.
History. Look over your history there, Darren. In the history of AFL Fantasy, there is only one man to consistently back up being the number one ruckman, and that was one Dean Cox. Since then, we've seen a multitude of ruckmen take that number one mantle and never back it up. But, hey, Dean Cox, Max Gawn could be the one to break that mold.
I'd say, I'd go the other way. I'd say, look, if you feel like someone's going to do it, then draft him.
Yep.
If you think he's going to average 130, then take him. You know, would you rather miss out on that and go, oh, those bloody draft doctors gave me the wrong stick, or would you rather draft him
and stick it up us?
And no, draft, yeah, what? Stick it up us for one, or but if it goes pear shaped, you go, you know what? I made the pick, I'll lie in my own bed. I'd rather lie in my own bed personally, because if I get it right, then I'm all over it.
So is that one of your tips and tricks for one of the upcoming shows there, Steve? Lying in your own bed?
Well, I don't know, maybe. Lying in your own bed's awesome, especially when Mrs. Fizz is nowhere near it, over with Jesse Hogan, whatever.
And I think Max Gawn is probably the only ruckman who has this wonderful ceiling that also hasn't got competition within his own club, to play as that ruck forward that's going to take time away from him. So he's just an outlier at the moment. What we saw this year was remarkable, but what we've seen in previous years with Steph Martin, with Todd Goldstein, is the inability to back it up. But right now, as you sit, you'd think Max Gawn is the only one worthwhile being a round one draft pick.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, and that's how it is. But if you feel like that's what's going to happen, then damn well take him.
Yeah.
Well, who the hell am I to stop you taking? You play for fun. You know, you back yourself. It's not.
Hey, fantasy is not fun. It's a lifestyle.
How long did it take you to hand over the Champions Trophy from our league? I've been sick. I've been getting
3 months. Yeah, about 3 months. Yeah. And with great reluctance to hand over that trophy too.
I wouldn't want to have had to receive that trophy from you.
Oh, no, I took it to the players.
I really want to win next year because I really want to pry it off.
I know what you want. Why you want to win it.
And take it. Beat him. I'd say death. We'll find a new league, mate. I don't have any problems with that.
But that wraps up the show for this week. And next week, we today we spoke about our sleepers, but next week we are talking burn men. The men that we will still draft, but there's some trepidation in drafting these players.
There is a take so hot that even the dog with the hat and the coffee says this isn't fine.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. And before we leave, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter where we are at The Draft Doctors, or head over to Facebook, search for The Draft Doctors there. Or if you'd like to shoot us an email, go to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.